Hello, John.
Goedenavond.
Goedenavond. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Hein. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. We've just been listening to another track of your wonderful new CD, which is called A Tribute to Gilbert Dupré. For people who don't know who that was, who's Gilbert Dupré?
Well, Gilbert Louis Dupré obviously was a French tenor of the 19th century. Basically began his career in 1830-ish and finished his career around 1851. He began his career singing Rossini roles, you know, basically the contraltino kind of light roles.
Yeah.
He began in France, but didn't have a whole lot of success in France. So then he moved to Italy, where he started having much greater success. And eventually he was the first to sing Arnold and Guillaume Tell with the high C's in the full chest voice, full voix mix.
Yes.
Up until that point, most people had been singing in a lighter sort of falsettone, which is falsetto singing, but really full singing. But he's accredited to mastering the high C in the full chest voice. And so that is where he stands historically. He sang roles such as he originated the role of Lucia of Edgardo in Lucia de Lammermoor, which he later did in French as well, as you hear on my album.
Mm-hmm.
He originated roles of Don Sebastian by Donizetti. He took over for Adolphe Nourry at the Opéra de Paris in, I can't remember what year, but he took over for him as basically the principal main tenor at the Opéra.
Okay.
And that was because he had this huge success in William Tell, and then went on to do other great successes like Cellini, which was originally written for Nourry as well. But Gilbert Dupré became more famous for it because he was more successful singing all the high notes. And Adolphe Nourry later tried to master the high C as well in the full chest voice, but never could. He went to Bergamo to try to learn it from Donizetti and eventually committed suicide. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds like a tenor story to me.
Dus mensen, Gilbert Dupré is een zanger, een Franse zanger, die rollen zong eerst in Rossini-opera's, de hoge, lichte rollen. En daarna heeft hij geleerd om de hoge C vanuit de borststem te zingen. Dus niet in falset, wat de tenoren toen altijd deden. En dat heeft Adolphe Nourry, zijn grote rivaal, ook geprobeerd. Maar dat is niet gelukt. En die heeft dat nog geprobeerd te leren. En uiteindelijk is hij van ellende uit het raam gesprongen, is het verhaal. But John, the fact that Gilbert Dupré did this means that all of you, since he lived, have to do the same and have to learn the same. How do you get those high notes out? Because you just told me over Facebook that you sang a high E flat just now in Fra Diavolo. Where do those notes come from?
Well, those notes just come from heaven. They come from God. They're just, I don't know. I think it's just one of the talents that God gave me. I think that another one is for imitation and communication and being able to connect with my soul to the words and be able to be expressive in different languages.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just a gift that I've developed and nurtured over the years, and I guess I've been singing in a healthy enough way to still be able to do it today. So.
Ja, dus John Osborne zegt, die hoge noten zijn een godsgeschenk, letterlijk. Daar komt het vandaan. En het is dat wat hij heeft ontwikkeld, net als zijn talent voor talen. En hij kan het nog steeds zingen. How does this music that you're singing tonight, for us at least, the Fra Diavolo, how does that compare to these Gilbert Dupré roles? Is it easier? Is it different?
I tell you, it is. Some parts seem very easy. I love singing the ballads, the Agnès La Jouvencelle, which you haven't heard yet, which is coming up in Act Two. It's a beautiful serenade, like you already heard me serenading Pamela,
yeah.
Milady Pamela in Act One. It's beautiful lyrical singing, which is very similar to the Cellini, I would say.
Yeah.
Reminds me very, very much of Berlosian sort of episodes. And, you know, I have two arias by Cellini on this disc, and and other things where just floating the high stuff is very Donizetti-esque. Of course, this is all bel canto type stuff. And then we have all this patter stuff, all this really fast stuff in this Fra Diavolo, which actually I'm not accustomed to doing a lot of that.
Yeah.
That is typically done by a lot of basso buffi who sing a lot of Rossini, and those are the roles that normally do all this fast stuff. I'm used to singing a lot of coloratura, which is fast-moving notes on various syllables, but I'm not used to doing a lot of fast syllables like I did here in Fra Diavolo. So this French operetta style is so full of that stuff. Of course, it's much more parlando or spoken than a lot of other styles, much like the German operetta. So it's kind of, or Singspiel, where there's a lot of, normally it's done in, with a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
They decided in this version to do all the dialogue as recitatives,
yeah,
which are traditionally done in the Italian version. So mm-hmm. If you'd like to respond and say all that in Dutch, I'll give you a break.
Okay, thank you. Dus John zegt net, het is vergelijkbaar, vooral ook met Benvenuto Cellini, wat we hem in Nederland ook hebben horen zingen. Dat soort muziek. Dat kun je heel goed vergelijken met Fra Diavolo. Ook de manier van de serenades die hij net heeft gegeven, bijvoorbeeld aan Lady Pamela. Maar er zit nog iets anders bij, en dat is wat nieuw voor hem. We hebben hem vaak snelle noten horen zingen, maar hier is het heel veel woorden heel snel achter elkaar zingen. Wat heel erg doet denken aan de operettenstijl, ook aan de Duitse stijl. En dat is wel nieuw voor hem. John, this is radio, of course, but I have to ask you this. Could you talk us through the costume you're wearing as Fra Diavolo? Because that's something to behold.
My costume that they costumed me this time is a actually really stunning metallic blue material for this sort of a navy blue suit, where I have a gold silk shirt underneath. I'm garnished with gold chains, gold bracelets, a gold watch, a gold ring, and a funny turquoise colored, teal turquoise kind of colored coat, an overcoat, a wool coat with a matching fedora with a red feather in the hat, which is actually talked about by Zerlina in her little, the famous tune from the opera.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun to play this. I had a really thin little, I call it a cheesy mustache, but they were trying to make it really shikimiki, try to make me look very sort of Italian mafioso, because it takes place in Italy. And, of course, I was like a villain or a criminal. So
yeah.
So that was their idea. That was their concept.
Yeah.
Hold on a second while I have to turn off some notifications.
Okay, I'll translate in the meantime. Dus John Osborne droeg een blauw kostuum. Een wat turquoise jas eroverheen, blauw kostuum erover, een hoed, een blauwe hoed met een rode veer erop. En in de aria die we ook helemaal aan het begin lieten horen van het programma, de aria van Zerlina, waarin ze Fra Diavolo beschrijft, wordt er ook gezegd dat hij die rode veer op zijn hoed heeft. En verder rest nog, ja, ringen om zijn vingers en gouden kettingen. U kent het wel. En dan ook nog, en daar zal ik zo meteen nog één kleine vraag over stellen. Een klein snorretje, zo'n heel dun snorretje, dat hij eruit zag als een Italiaanse mafioso. Ik ga even kijken of hij weer terug is. Are you back with us, John? Or?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. How did that go down at home when your wife visited, that little moustache? Did she love it?
Oh, it's so funny, actually. It reminds us of a character that's in a film played by Jack Black in a really funny film we love watching called Nacho Libre. And he plays a sort of a Mexican monk who's practicing to become a priest, but his real dream is to become a luchador.
Mm.
Which, of course, is like the Mexican wrestler. So he wants to be a professional wrestler. And it is the funniest movie, and it just reminded her so much of that she just could not look at me with a straight face. It made her laugh. She could not wait for me to lose the mustache.
Oké, okay, ja. John Osborne leek heel erg op Jack Black in Nacho Libre. Dat is een film over een Mexicaanse jongen die worstelaar wil worden. Dus zijn vrouw kon hem niet aankijken zonder te lachen. Well, we've heard you in the Netherlands in Bel Canto, but actually even more in French opera. Where did this affinity for French opera come from?
Actually, it started, many years ago. I loved studying the French language. And I actually had some numbers of experiences with La Fille du Régiment, The Daughter of the Regiment. And that just sort of fell away to the wayside because I ended up concentrating more on Italian Rossini and Donizetti roles. I did some Bellini. But then it actually started with Pierre Audi and his production at the Paris Opera of La Juive. It was the George Tsippen production, which we also then brought to the Netherlands Opera.
Yeah.
But actually, it was the La Juive in Paris at the Bastille that put me on the map. And directly after that, actually, people of the L'Accademia di Santa Cecilia in Rome saw me doing that, and they wanted me desperately to do Arnold and Guillaume Tell. And so these two things really launched me into the realm of the French, the serious French repertoire, and then I started doing romantic roles such as Romeo, and then Des Grieux in Manon, and ultimately I did Werther, Hoffmann, these wonderful roles that I'm doing now, and these are all considered standard and very important French roles, so that's what I'm doing now,
yeah.
And I love it!
Oké. Okay. John Osborne's affiniteit met de Franse opera begon eigenlijk met Pierre Audi en de productie van La Juive in Parijs, die we daarna ook in Amsterdam hebben gezien. Daarna werd hij gevraagd voor Guillaume Tell, Arnold, de hoge tenorrol. En dat was het begin eigenlijk van alle Franse rollen of Man Werther die hij later heeft gezongen. We hebben hem natuurlijk in Nederland ook gezien als Arnold in Guillaume Tell. En nu gaan we hem bekijken in Les Contes d'Hoffmann aan het eind van dit seizoen. You're coming to the Netherlands. You're coming back for Les Contes d'Hoffmann. You've sung that before. So, are you looking?
Yes.
And you're looking forward to it? Doing it again? What makes this role so great?
Oh my goodness. It is one of the most incredible acting singing roles in all of repertoire. It's been sung by most of all the important tenors of the history of opera. It's just dramatically so incredible, so romantic, so charming, and boy, does he sing a lot.
Yeah.
and yes, I have done the Laurent Pelly production, which I've done at the Opéra de Lyon, mm-hmm. And we actually took it on tour to Japan as well. And I'm trying to think, I think I've only done one production, but I've done a couple different runs of it. So I'm excited to do it again and hope to continue to do it and keep it in my repertoire.
Oké, okay. Dus nou komt Les Contes d'Hoffmann eraan. Een fantastische rol, zegt hij. Veel dramatische mogelijkheden. Wel een hele lange rol. Hij heeft hem in Lyon gedaan, in de productie van Laurent Pelly. Daarna naar Japan meegenomen. Dus een aantal keer in dezelfde productie. En dan komt hij naar Nederland in een nieuwe productie. Talking about the Netherlands. Recently you starred in two consecutive productions of Le Prophète by Giacomo Meyerbeer. And that should be a very important opera to Dutchmen. Because who were you singing in this opera?
Well, I was singing Jan van Leyden, so Jean de Leyde in the French version. And, of course, that's a very famous, not so popular, but very famous personage from the Dutch people.
Yeah. Ja, dus de rol van Jan van Leyden in Le Prophète, de profeet Jan van Leyden eigenlijk, die wij ook nog kennen uit die uitdrukking, Jantje van Leyden. En die heeft hij daar gezongen. And you did that in Essen with the great Marianne Cornetti and with Lynette Tapia. And we've heard you at the start of the show singing with her. Why is it so special to sing with this singer? Could you explain that?
Lynette Tapia is my wife of 21 years. We've had wonderful opportunities to perform throughout our careers. We began our careers in around 1996, 97, as far as when I finally left the Met program in 95. Then we actually did a few productions in the beginning together of I Puritani, Barbieri di Siviglia. And we did our first La Fille du Régiment together with Richard Bonning conducting. we've had some of the most incredible experiences. And just Lynette and me, we have a special relationship where we still, after 22 plus years of being together, are still very much in love. And it's really incredible to work with an artist such as her, who is constantly just sincerely connected to the words, and you just really feel like you're having a real life experience with her on stage. And of course, because we are in love in real life, it makes it for the audience that much more electric.